Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Let's take a trip to Cincinnati, Ohio. We'll be joined by a friend of the show, Mo Edgar, to take a closer look at the Cincinnati Bengals. Mo, I feel like you come on the show at least every other month because these two teams always play each other.
I think it's become the best organic rivalry in the NFL where, you know, it's not based on, you know, being division foes. It's not based on geography. It's not based on, you know, some sort of long-time history. It's based on a lot of really good games, a lot of really high-stakes games. And I think, as much as I don't think these two teams really like each other, I do think there's a ton of mutual respect. And so I don't care who you root for. I think if you're an NFL fan, you've had this one circled since the schedule came out.
Mo, I think the number one question that all of us have is, what in the world happened last week with Cincinnati to lose 16-10 at home to the New England Patriots, a team that had one of the five worst records in the NFL last year, a team that is starting Jacoby Brissett? How did things go so wrong for Cincinnati in week one?
You know, it's never any one thing, but the biggest thing was Joe Burrow didn't play like Joe Burrow. And you could tell, I think two series into the game, that this was going to be a slog. This was going to be the sort of game that if they won it, you know, they were going to have to grind it out, maybe win something like, I don't know, 19-16, and then we all do the, well, a win is a win thing after the game. Joe, it wasn't that he played bad. It's that he played uncharacteristically bad. And what I mean by that is, you know, you think if Joe Burrow isn't effective, all right, he misses on some deep passes, he throws a pick or two, he gets sacked, he's always under pressure. None of those things were in play. It was remarkable watching an offense that not that long ago was articulated by Joe Burrow as, quote, F it, throw it downfield, Jamar will go get it, to a complete and total unwillingness to throw the ball downfield. Not 30 yards downfield, not 40 yards downfield, 10 yards downfield. 16 of his first 20 passes didn't travel beyond 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. He's throwing short of the sticks on third and 10. He's throwing short of the sticks on fourth and two. And so, you know, do you attribute that to him maybe not being 100% from a health perspective? Obviously, that's a fair conclusion to draw. Was it a bad game plan? I think it was, to the extent that the passes that Joe Burrow did complete resulted in the guy who caught the ball being tackled almost instantly. Nobody was really getting open. Was it him simply having a bad day, maybe not feeling comfortable because he took some early hits? Perhaps, but as the game went on, the protection was really, really good. There were other factors in the game. They couldn't stop the run, which I think, frankly, with this team is kind of to be expected. They didn't have T. Higgins, which, all right, fine, but they did have Jamar Chase. They did have Joe Burrow. They were at home. They were playing a bad New England team. And so for the result to be what it was and for the game to play out the way it did, I think it's the worst regular season loss of the Zach Taylor era, and it was certainly a very sobering way to start the season.
Right now we're talking to Mo Edgar of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bengals, the marquee game on CBS this week. Mo, who are Cincinnati fans sort of attributing their slow starts to? Because one of my big points this week has been that when you have a dysfunctional August, the way that Cincinnati has had multiple times, it creates a dysfunctional September. This team has the Burrow thing to overcome. T. Higgins isn't healthy. Jamar Chase is unhappy about his contract, and then that carries over to the first week of the season. This team is now 1-8 in the first 2 weeks of the season under Zach Taylor. Who are Cincinnati fans sort of pointing the finger at for why this organization continues to get off to slow starts?
the coaching staff. And I think it's not just Sunday. It's exactly what you just mentioned. It's the 1-8. It's the 0-2 start to last season. The 1-3 start to last season. The 0-2 start to 2022. And by the way, they recovered in 2022, won their last 8 regular season games, made the AFC Championship game. They recovered enough last year to be above 500 in late October and kind of be on track to get back to the postseason before Joe got hurt. But, yeah, look, there were mitigating factors this year. Joe is not 100%. The Ja'Marr Chase thing kind of took on a life of its own. It's the job of a coaching staff to have their team ready. And if this was an isolated thing, you could say, all right, you know what, maybe training camp got a little bit away from them. Maybe, you know, there were some things that could have gone a little bit differently. But when you look at last year, they were ill-prepared to play the first game of the season on the road against Cleveland, lost 27-3. 2 years ago, ill-prepared in their season opener against the Pittsburgh Steelers, a Pittsburgh team that then lost its next 4 games. They played that game at home. And so I think the common denominator is the coaching staff. You've got to have your team prepared to play week one. I think what's interesting, though, about this year is beyond all the noise surrounding Ja'Marr Chase, this was the training camp where they were going to hit more, where they were going to approach camp a little bit more with the idea of hitting the ground running. They had 2 joint practices, which, you know, frankly, are more competitive environments than the preseason games, and yet still they came out flat. And so regardless of how this season ends up, regardless of how many games they win or lose in 2024, when we get to next July and training camp begins, we're all going to be wondering, okay, is this the year that they can come charging out of the gate? Because they haven't done it. They haven't won their season opener but one time since Zach Taylor became the head coach. And so getting back to your original question, there's lots of different people you can point to for the poor performance on Sunday. But when you lump everything together the last couple of years and you look at how ill-prepared this team has been to start the season, that reflects mainly on the head coach.
Joe Burrow is a very interesting case. I believe that when he's healthy, he's the second best quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes. But this week, and just watching so much of their game on Sunday against New England, I find myself asking, man, when was the last time that Joe Burrow was healthy, and when was the last time he played like the guy that I think he is? And you and I both take a look at the AFC, and you got Patrick Mahomes, and you got CJ Stroud, and Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow we're talking about, and Trevor Lawrence. Burrow doesn't look like the guy that's in that same conversation with where Stroud, Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson is right now. I know a lot of that is injury-based. Do you have any worry or fear if Burrow can get back to being that guy that he was in 2022 when he was an undeniable top-3 quarterback in the league?
I think it at least has to be in the back of your mind until you start to see him play like the guy that you just referenced. Now, to be fair to Joe, he started the season poorly last year. He was dealing with a calf issue. Obviously, we know how his season ended. But right before he got hurt, he had about a 4-game stretch where he played like the guy that you referenced. He played like one of the best 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the league. He had a terrific performance on the road against San Francisco in a game the Bengals dominated. He had a very good performance in prime time against the Buffalo Bills. He led an insane comeback in a game that they still lost against the Houston Texans. He was getting there, and he was playing really well. Unfortunately, it all got washed away because he suffered the injury. He didn't play the last basically 2 months of the season, and Jake Browning took over. But look, here's the reality, okay? He has played 4 NFL seasons and a game. And within that time frame, he's had a season-ending knee injury. He had the Super Bowl, which he limped off with a knee injury, as people remember, when they lost to the Rams. He's had an appendectomy. He's had a calf issue that kept him from being at his best last season. And he's had a season-ending wrist injury that last year required surgery that apparently is lingering into this year. And so more than half of the time that he has been in the league, he has either been out with an injury, recovering from an injury, playing with an injury, trying to gain weight because of an injury. And so those things, number one, they add up. And I think you're being completely reasonable if you wonder about the cumulative effect. But there's a long stretch of time where he plays uninterrupted. We're not talking about injuries. We're solely focusing on his performance. And those performances, you know, meet the standard that he set in 2021 and 2022. Until then, I think you're always going to hesitate a little bit when you talk about Joe in relation to Patrick Mahomes or Joe in relation to anybody else. Now, you and I both know a year ago at this time, we were all wondering, well, can Lamar Jackson get through a full season? And he did last year. And so now we don't talk nearly as much about his injuries. This is a big, big season for Joe, because if by the end of the season we're still talking about how often he's hurt, well, then that's 3 out of 5 years.
Mo, give me your Chiefs win if scenario. Give me your Bengals win if scenario to go on the road. And I know that Vegas would consider this an upset, but given these two teams' history, it would not be surprising if Cincinnati leaves Arrowhead with another win.
Three things have to happen. I think, number one, they're going to have to figure out a way to take some pressure off of Joe. They've retooled the running game. Joe Mixon is no longer here. By the way, that move looked terrible after the way he played for the Texans last week. They're going to have to find a way offensively to take some pressure off Joe Burrow by running the ball more effectively. And we did see some glimpses of that in the New England game. It's not something they want to lean on. They might have to lean on it a little bit more heavily this week. I think you have to ask Joe Burrow, look, you've got Ja'Marr Chase, find him downfield. The unwillingness to throw the ball deep, he doesn't have to be perfect. They can still take advantage of his check down game. But if you're going to play offensive football in a phone booth, this team suddenly becomes very easy to defend. They were really easy to defend last week. It goes without saying, Joe has to be great, but he's going to have to be great by being able to exploit some matchups with Ja'Marr Chase. And I think the really interesting thing about this game, the Bengals have remade their secondary, and they've got some corners back there who are really raw and really young, also really talented. They moved Dax Hill from safety to corner, former first-round pick from Michigan. They've got Cam Taylor-Britt, who's kind of moved into the CB1 role, if you will. They've remade the safety room with Geno Stone signing, coming over from Baltimore, and Von Bell coming back. Patrick Mahomes has the weapons and the arm to test that secondary. The New England Patriots last week could not. I am really interested to see how the Bengals pass those tests. And if they do, they've got more than a puncher's chance. And I think the other side of the coin is very similar. When Patrick Mahomes tries to test that Cincinnati secondary, if the Bengals don't pass that test, it's going to be a long day for Cincinnati's defense. And if the Bengals play offensive football the way they did against New England on the road against KC, they have almost no chance. What I am interested in, maybe from a more schematic standpoint, is Cincinnati's offensive line held up okay as the game went on. Joe was really pressured, I think, on 6 of 35 dropbacks. We all know what Chris Jones can do. We've seen Kansas City wreck the Bengals up front in the past. What do we see on Sunday?
That is our guy Mo Egger joining the show today. He is with ESPN 1350 in Cincinnati. He said one of the more interesting points I've heard this week about Joe Burrow. We'll go over it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation. Find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
All right, I got a couple of NFL topics that I want us to get through. You can text in 913-586-7965. One of them, I need your help. The other one, I don't need your help. This is the first one. Mo Egger was just on the show. Shout out to Mo Egger. Anytime we go to Cincinnati, we go to Mo Egger. Listen to how he described Joe Burrow and tell me if he is describing one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League, because that's not what I heard from Mo.
That not that long ago was articulated by Joe Burrow as, quote, F it, throw it downfield, Ja'Marr will go get it, to a complete and total unwillingness to throw the ball downfield. Not 30 yards downfield, not 40 yards downfield, 10 yards downfield, 16 of his first 20 passes didn't travel beyond 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. He's throwing short of the sticks on third and 10. He's throwing short of the sticks on fourth and 2. And so, you know, do you attribute that to him maybe not being 100% from a health perspective? Obviously, that's a fair conclusion to draw. Was it a bad game plan? I think it was, to the extent that the passes that Joe Burrow did complete resulted in the guy who caught the ball being tackled almost instantly. Nobody was really getting open. Was it him simply having a bad day, maybe not feeling comfortable because he took some early hits? Perhaps.
The way that he just described Joe Burrow does not make him one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL. These were his words. He does afternoons in Cincinnati. He's me. He said that Joe Burrow has an unwillingness to throw the ball down the field. He said 16 of his first 20 passes in the game on Sunday failed to go further than 5 yards down the field. And on third and 10, he's throwing short of the sticks. And on fourth and 2, he's throwing short of the sticks. I was watching that fourth down conversion when it got stopped. It was very similar to what we saw Lamar do on Thursday. Remember, the Ravens made the decision to go for it on fourth down. It was fourth and 3. They threw a 1 yard route. It got 1 yard, and it was a turnover on down. The almost exact same thing happened in Cincinnati on Sunday with them going up against the New England Patriots. The afternoon host in Cincinnati is telling you that Joe Burrow is not a top five quarterback anymore. You can't have an unwillingness to throw the ball. 16 of your first 20 passes go less than 5 yards. And you're telling me that you're CJ Stroud. And you're telling me that you're Patrick Mahomes. You're telling me you're Josh Allen. You're not in that conversation right now. You can get back in that conversation. But, Rob, I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Text line, you can chime in on this, obviously. 913-586-7965. What I just heard him say is that quarterback sounds a shell of what he used to be. I'm big on yards per attempt. I'm big on yards per completion. That stuff matters. And I know we talk about how you can scheme guys open, and yes, you can do those things. It has been a drastic night and day difference from the kind of player that he used to be. Joe Burrow in 2021, he was at 8.9 yards per attempt. In 2022, he was at 7.4 yards per attempt. In 2023, it was at 6.3. In the first game of the season, I know it's one game, it was 5.7. I can give you the list of quarterbacks. If that's what your yards per attempt is, if you're completing and your yards per attempt, your completions, it's less than 6 yards, you're one of the bottom quarterbacks in the National Football League. That's not even league average, not even close to what league average is for one of those guys. At some point, Joe Burrow's got to get back to being Joe Burrow. And I do wonder, with his injury history, what does that look like? What does Joe Burrow look like with all the injuries that we read off yesterday? I can pull the list back up, but it's been wrist injury, torn ACL, rib cartilage. It's been a lot of wear and tear on that body. What does 100% Joe Burrow look like in 2024? Because if you're telling me that this was a good offseason for Joe Burrow, and he has been at all the mini camps, been at all the practices, that quarterback that I saw looked like a shell of himself. That is not the same quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy. That is not the same quarterback that his second year in the NFL had 34 touchdown passes, 14 interceptions, and completed 70% of his passes. That's not the same quarterback that came into Kansas City and won the AFC Championship game. I don't know what kind of imposter Joe Burrow that the Bengals are trotting out there, but that's not an elite quarterback.
The question becomes, because the stats indicate exactly what you said, the question becomes, is what's happening to Joe Burrow a product of injury, and they are now scheming to protect him? We kind of talked about this earlier in the week, but it's KU, but I think you'll understand the comparison. Jalen Daniels doesn't look right. KU is clearly scheming with quick hitters, screens, underneath. It's, you don't trust your body, you don't trust your arm, we got to be different. That's how it looks with the Bengals. They're not throwing downfield. How much of this is scheme? How much of this Joe Burrow? How much is scheme and Burrow coming together because Burrow doesn't trust his body? Like, I remember we had Mo Egger on the show. It was around the draft. We were talking about, you know, the Bengals and all those things. And we asked him, hey, what's the deal with Burrow? He's not practicing yet at OTAs. And he said, well, if the season started today, he wouldn't be playing. That was either, you know, it was around the draft. So April, May, whenever those little OTAs are or whatever they call them, he wasn't practicing. So something is up with Joe Burrow. The question is the coaching staff trying to get the ball in his hands quicker to protect him because of his health? Or is he a little gun shy and getting the ball out of his hands quicker because of his health? But there seems to be an obvious correlation between what's happening on the field and his health history. They don't seem to be mutually exclusive.
Do you think that this show loves an NBA basketball comparison more or relationship analogy the most? I mean, I can pull either one out of the bag at any given moment. I've got a relationship analogy for the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. Are you ready for this one?
I'm excited for it.
Okay. Have you ever been in a relationship where you are either fighting with that person or you are making up from fighting with that person? Eventually, that house of cards crumbles. The makeup lovey-dovey is only going to go so far. When do you guys just have moments of peace? When do you guys just have the ability to sit there and laugh and watch a movie and talk about each other's day? That's not a healthy relationship. For the last 18 months, Joe Burrow has either been injured or recovering from an injury. When was the last time that you thought you watched a healthy Joe Burrow? Because it was at no point last year. He got hurt in training camp. He was hurt the entire season and looked off. He then hurt his wrist once he got the leg injury healed. And the Joe Burrow that I watched on Sunday didn't look healthy to me. When was the last time, Rob, that you think you watched a healthy Joe Burrow? I don't even know if he was healthy in the Super Bowl against the Los Angeles Rams. He was banged up in that game. When was the last time that you think we watched a Joe Burrow that either was not hurt or recovering from an injury? I know it's football, so guys are hurt. But right now, we have no reason to believe that Patrick Mahomes is hurt, right? We have no reason to believe it. We have no reason to think that he had surgery this offseason, that the ankle is bothering him anymore. Everything about him seems like he is the same Patrick Mahomes. CJ Stroud, Jalen Hurts, all of these other quarterbacks. When was the last time that you and I went into an NFL game week and injury was not a concern with the quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals? It's been a while. If you were in a relationship where you were either fighting with that person or making up from the fight, eventually your relationship, you got to let this thing go. At some point, Burrow, I want to see what healthy Joe Burrow looks like. I have no clue what that looks like anymore. It's been at least 18 months since we've seen that with him.
I mean, this was probably 2 years ago, not the AFC title game, but the year the Bengals beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game. Remember, they played that game in Cincinnati. It was like December, late November. It was a late in the season game. It was the first time the Chiefs and Bengals had matched up. And it was the game where Charvarius Ford had the multiple penalties on the goal line, which gave the Bengals the win. Joe Burrow looked great in that game. And that's when Kansas City started to realize, oh, there's a threat in town. He then went on, had a playoff run, and beat Kansas City in the AFC title game, but that AFC title game was coming off the heels of a, 8-9 sack game against the Titans? I don't think he was at 100% that day. I don't think he was 100% in the Super Bowl. And I don't think we've seen him 100% since. So to answer your question, I don't remember the Bengals' schedule game by game by game by game. But the first time the Joe Burrow Bengals faced Kansas City Chiefs in the regular season, that is the last time I can remember thinking to myself, he's at 100%. He is in tip-top form.
And someone on the text line is saying, C-Dot, it's only been 1 week of Joe Burrow. And again, I think that that's fair. I'm not telling you I'm throwing away all the Joe Burrow stock. I'm not going Chris Canty here. But I do think it is fair to notice all the quarterbacks that you guys think are good played well in week one other than one of them. Patrick Mahomes played well in week one. It was 1 week. Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes the first week of the season. C.J. Stroud, pretty good, right? We think he's a top five quarterback in the league. C.J. Stroud looked a lot like C.J. Stroud. You know I'm not the biggest Tua fan in the world, but Tua played well in week one. Dak Prescott played well in week one. Brock Purdy played well. The quarterbacks that you think are capable all played well in week one, except one of them. Cincinnati's quarterback. You tell me the other good quarterback to struggle this week. I'm not sure if Aaron Rodgers is good. I'm not sure if Kirk Cousins is good. Not 36 coming off an Achilles injury. Maybe you'll be good like week 10, week 11. I'm not sure if those guys are good right now. All the good younger QBs in the league, they all played well this weekend except one. So we can say it's 1 week with Joe Burrow. That 1 week looked a lot like week 10 from last year, looked a lot like week 9 from last year, looked a lot like week 8 from last year. Remember the slow start they got off to last year? They don't look any different in week 1 than they looked the early part of last season when they dug themselves in an incredible hole and obviously were unable to get out of it. They looked better at times with Jake Browning last year because they finally had a healthy quarterback to utilize all the weapons that they had.
I mean, it's sad as a football fan. Like, let's say this version of Joe Burrow is the Burrow we're going to get until his career ends. He's just not a Super Bowl quarterback, and he's not, you know, even a good quarterback in the league. I'm trying to think of a very middle blah quarterback that we saw last year. I don't even know the comparison, but we know the talent is there. We've seen the talent. We've seen it on display both in the league and in college football. But if that guy is no longer the quarterback of the Bengals are gone. And Joe Burrow's career is eventually going to fade because you can't continue to pay that guy that amount of money to be just okay, which is all he was in week one. I don't think he was bad. Like, I think Will Levis was bad. And that's an unfair comparison to Joe. But Joe was in the middle. But a guy that we both think is a top 10 quarterback in the league should not come in at, hey, he had the 17th best week one. That's not how it works.
Let me ask you this question. Text on, let me ask you this question. 913-586-7965. I actually do need you guys' help on this one. So if you could help me, I would greatly appreciate it. There are three groups of teams in the National Football League for the Kansas City Chiefs. There is one, it is embarrassing to lose to that team. The Indianapolis Colts a couple years ago. It is embarrassing to lose to the Indianapolis Colts. If the Chiefs play Carolina later on this season and they lose to the Panthers, that is embarrassing. The Panthers are not a good team. If the Chiefs lost at home to the Patriots, you would consider that to be an embarrassing loss, right? Like, you would consider that to be embarrassing, right? So there's that group of teams. There are a group of teams they could lose to that team. It's not crazy if the Chiefs lose, right? If they lose to, you pick a decent team in the league. It's not crazy if they lose to them. And then I would say there's like a last group of teams. Oh, they could beat them. San Francisco could beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't have to play poorly. Just for one individual Sunday, San Francisco just plays a little bit better than Kansas City and they win. Do you still think that Cincinnati is in that group of a team that you think they can beat Kansas City? Because they can lose to is a much larger group of teams than teams that you think can beat Kansas City. A team like Detroit. Detroit can beat the Chiefs. I don't think they would win a series against Kansas City, but none of us would be surprised if this week they played the Lions and the Lions won a hard-fought 24-21 game. They've proven to be one of the five best teams in the league. I would say Philadelphia is probably one of those teams that the Chiefs that could beat the Kansas City Chiefs. There's not that many teams that I would put in that category where it's not just the Chiefs playing poorly while you win. It's also you play well enough to beat Kansas City. Do you think that Cincinnati is still one of those teams that could beat Kansas City?
Yes.
Or do they need help to do it? Because the offense that I just saw that scored 10 points against the New England Patriots, that team needs Kansas City's help to beat them.
They're still in the yes category. They can still beat Kansas City. I still have them in that same category. Now, that doesn't mean I have them as a Super Bowl contender right now. I might need to see more, but they can beat Kansas City. Carrington, last year it was New Year's Eve, and the Chiefs played the Bengals, and Jake Browning was the starting quarterback against the Chiefs. By all metrics, it should have been a nice, comfortable victory. This should have been something like 31-17. The Chiefs defense handles Jake Browning. The offense outclasses the Bengals. It should have been easy money. And that was an 8-point game. And it was a 1-point game into the fourth quarter. And if you're a Bengals fan, you could probably paint a scenario in your head where you say, hey, if we didn't have Jake Browning today, we might be a threat to the Chiefs. The same Chiefs that went on to win the Super Bowl. I've also seen this Bengals team pretty consistently beat the Chiefs. They're what, 3-1 in the regular season against the Chiefs? They're 1-1 in the postseason? Now, I know what you're going to say. That's a different Joe Burrow, and that's fine. But until I see them totally topple off that ledge, which I didn't see last year with a backup quarterback, I'm going to keep them in the can beat the Chiefs category because Lou Anarumo and Zach Taylor, they just know something about the Chiefs to keep these games competitive and get the best of them a decent amount of times. So, yes, they are still in that category for now. But they're teetering. They're on the edge. But they stay in the can-beat Kansas City category.
Where do you think the offense is coming from Cincinnati if T. Higgins doesn't play? Because it sounds like he's not going to play. He's not practiced so far this week. Didn't play last week. I don't think you don't play in week one, don't practice in week two when you show up on Sunday and you're a big-time figure. Is there anybody on this offense that scares you at this point? Because when Cincinnati was a team that we did not have to have this conversation about, you had Joe Mixon, who ran for 1,000 yards. You had Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is one of the five best receivers in the league. You know I loved a healthy T. Higgins. You had Tyler Boyd. You had a capable tight end. Cincinnati used to have three or four weapons that you couldn't just key in on Ja'Marr Chase because T. Higgins could beat you. Tyler Boyd could go for 70 yards. You get some capable yards from your tight end. I look at this offense right now. What kind of game do you think Cincinnati wins? So let's say that Cincinnati, we come on here on Monday and Cincinnati wins this game 27-24. How do they do it? Because I don't know if they got 27 points with this offense that they have right now, not against the Chiefs defense. Zach Moss is not running for more than 75 yards against Kansas City. Ja'Marr Chase might get his yards. Is there any other wide receiver on that team you think gets 50 yards against Kansas City? Because I don't think this Andre, I don't even know how to pronounce the man's name. Isavis, how do you pronounce his name? I never heard of this man before.
I literally look at the depth chart. Good luck pronouncing it. That's my guess to you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's Ja'Marr Chase, Trenton Irwin, Charlie Jones, Andre Isavis, Jermaine Burton. Where do you think the yards are coming from on Sunday?
I mean, it's a great question. I'm looking it up because I'm curious. As I scroll down, I mean, it hasn't been like T. Higgins has been dominant against Kansas City. In their three regular season matchups that T. Higgins has played in, he only has seven catches for 116. So, I mean, it's not bad. That's basically yards per game. T. Higgins is a 39 yards a game guy against the Chiefs. And the Bengals have done really well against the Chiefs. So to answer your question, how do the Bengals beat the Chiefs? Ja'Marr Chase is cooking. And I'm not talking like he has, you know, a nice day. Like, I'm talking like he makes Isaiah Likely's day look like, oh, that's in the rearview mirror. He's having one of those days. Remember the first game they played where he was basically unguardable the entire game? If he does that, the Bengals can win. That's a Herculean ask because you got to figure Trent McDuffie's on him, but usually it's been Ward or Snead on Chase. This is a different ball game. That's their path.
Text line 913-586-7965. Hey, CDOT, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders last year on Christmas Day. They can easily get beat by the Bengals on Sunday. That's kind of my point. Again, there's three categories of teams in the National Football League. There are some teams that are embarrassing to lose to. I don't think losing to the Bengals is embarrassing. They're not the Panthers, right? There is a team that I would put them in the, then there's a next tier they could lose to. Yes, if you tell me that the Chiefs go out and they turn the ball over three times and they just play really poorly in this game because Cincinnati beat them. But the fact that we are using the Raiders on Christmas Day as the example now for Cincinnati tells me where we think Cincinnati is right now. Houston, our perception is, doesn't need all that to beat Kansas City. They got a good quarterback. They got good offense. They got good pieces. They got a capable defense. Houston could beat Kansas City 27-24. San Francisco could beat Kansas City 27-24. They just took them to the overtime in the Super Bowl. Detroit could beat Kansas City. The fact that we now think, and it's just 1 week, the fact that we're putting, well, hey, you saw what happened on Christmas against the Raiders, that speaks to the fall of grace that we think Cincinnati has had. Sure, it's the National Football League. I'm not telling you Kansas City's going to win 34-0 in this game. It's the NFL. These two teams play close games. But we used to talk about Cincinnati like they were Baltimore. Baltimore had a chance to win that game. That drive goes a little bit different. One, they had a chance to outright beat Kansas City. Kansas City played well. Patrick Mahomes played well. Rice played well. Baltimore had a chance late, 4 minutes to go down the field and beat Kansas City. It's not like Kansas City played poorly, didn't turn the ball over a bunch, didn't play sloppy. They had a chance to beat them. Is Cincinnati still one of those teams in that Lions, Baltimore, Buffalo category that you think they could stand toe-to-toe in the middle of the ring and trade punches with Kansas City? Because I think all of those other teams can. I'm honestly not really sure if Cincinnati is still one of those kind of teams. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I want to read one thing to you guys and we can move forward. CDOT, I think you're being a little shock jock radio. It's way too early to say the Bengals aren't the same anymore. It's been 1 week. Okay, that's fair. Can we just take a quick journey back? The Bengals beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game in January of 2022, right? I want to read to you the offensive weapons that they had. And then I want to read to you the offensive weapons that played in their most recent game against the New England Patriots. So in that game, Rob, Joe Mixon was their leading rusher. He had 88 yards rushing. These were their top five receivers. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon, and Tyler Boyd. It's a pretty decent crop of offensive players, right? It's pretty decent. Going to read to you who their top receivers and running backs were in week one last week. Zach Moss was their leading rusher. And someone, Chase Brown, he had three carries for 11 yards. These were their top five receivers on Sunday. Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase had six catches for 62 yards. Andre, how do you pronounce this man's name? The text line tried to explain it to me. Yesevich, how do you pronounce his name?
I'm reading what the text line said. Yoshevas?
So Andre Yosevas, he was their second leading receiver. He had three catches for 26 yards. Tanner Hudson had two catches for 18 yards. Mike Gesicki had three catches for 18 yards and two catches for 17 yards. Now, I understand your, hey, it's 1 week with the Bengals. We need to see. I would just ask the question. I can go through the guys that caught passes last week for the Ravens. The Bengals' talent seems very much off than that to me. We can go to Houston's talent and the guys that they got running the ball and the guys that they got catching passes. We agree. Houston has more than what Cincinnati has. We can go to San Francisco. We can go to the Lions. Now, maybe I was just off on Cincinnati from the beginning and I am having the, oh man, this team might be in trouble. Rob tried to tell me all offseason something was up with Cincinnati. I watched a lot of that game on Sunday. I'm trying to figure out who the offense is coming from. I don't know who's catching passes. If you think that Trent McDuffie's going to be on Ja'Marr Chase for a majority of the time, which I imagine many of you do, and they're going to do a decent job against Ja'Marr Chase, who else gets the yards on this Bengals team? Who else gets the yards? Is Andre Yesevich, Yoshi, whatever his name is?
Yoshevas.
Is he having four catches for 75 yards on this team? Is Tanner Hudson having five catches for 65 yards on this team?
To be fair, playing devil's advocate, would you have had Isaiah Likely at 100-plus? Now, he's more name and has more of a track record than those guys you mentioned other than Ja'Marr Chase, but I don't think last Wednesday or Thursday when we were talking Ravens and Chiefs, any of us had Isaiah Likely just flambang the Chiefs' defense. Like, sometimes people you can't name do have games. Now, Isaiah Likely's better than these players, or at least there's more track record, but it could happen because I've seen a tight end two flambe the Chiefs.
I don't hear no dogs on that team. Are you beating this Chiefs team with no dogs? Texan saying I'm overreacting. CDOT, it sounds like I'm listening to Fesco. I'm thinking the same thing. You're overreacting. We've seen the Chiefs defense now for a year and a half. Tell me how Cincinnati is moving the ball against Kansas City's defense. And tell me with who. Because we can go through the guys who have helped cook the Chiefs over the last couple of years and the guys that I've seen them shut down. And Tanner Hudson, he ain't having 65 yards against Kansas City's defense. Mike Gesicki is not having a great day against Kansas City's defense. I don't really see a scenario in which Cincinnati scores more than 21 points against Kansas City. I think their only chance to win is like 21-17. They force a couple of turnovers. They play good defense. I think that's their chance. I also take a note of, for two teams that have played really, really closely, the fact that Vegas has the Chiefs as such big favorites for teams that usually are play at a coin flip, and usually, I mean, Cincinnati is what, 4-1 in the regular season against this team? if Vegas was really high on Cincinnati, and maybe it's an overreaction to what they did last week, this game feels like it should be Chiefs minus 3.5, Chiefs minus 4, where they're only favored because they're at home. Them being a 6, 6.5-point favorite tells you they'd be favored in this game anywhere. They'd be favored if it was a neutral site. They'd be favored in Cincinnati right now. Vegas is telling you they think the Chiefs are much better than where Cincinnati is right now. I'm a big believer of sometimes, like, when you play teams. I think this is the perfect time to play Cincinnati. They might not be this team in week 8 or week 9. You get Higgins back. You figure out the run game a little bit. Jamar Chase gets in the flow of this thing. I don't know if there's a better time to play Cincinnati than right now. Joe Burrow seems like he's not himself. Jamar Chase just started practicing with this team 10 days ago. T. Higgins isn't playing in that team, and they don't really have another defined option on their offense.
They definitely are lacking in playmakers, but we haven't seen it this year, but we've seen it in the history of the NFL. If Joe Burrow gets back to being Joe Burrow, he can make plumbers and insurance salesmen look good. I mean, we'll talk about it probably in the 5 o'clock hour, but the Bills played the Dolphins tonight. You all offseason, that's one game, same one game sample size. You all offseason told me Josh Allen has no weapons. They're in big trouble. They scored what, 30 in their win? It's the Cardinals, but that's a salty Cardinals bunch. That's a Cardinals team that is going to win some football games this year. That's not the Cardinals team I've seen in the past. It's not some pushover. And he was throwing to, he didn't even throw to Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah,
the one
he was
guy,
a non-factor. Mm,
he was throwing to the MVS group. So if Joe Burrow is, hey, I just needed a week to knock off the rust, and he looks back like Joe Burrow, like we've talked about today, good quarterbacks can make mediocre weapons a problem.
I think it's also, I guess, to note, and kind of why we're having the conversation about Burrow, is Josh Allen is still a weapon himself. Josh Allen had 2 rushing touchdowns. Like, you have one of the best short yardage goal line backs in the National Football League. And then you got a capable run game with James Cook, Keon Coleman. He was actually one of the few rookies that actually played well this past week, at least outside of Xavier Worthy. Josh Allen is still a weapon. He's still a guy for, he threw for 232 yards. I mean, Josh Allen accounted for 4 touchdowns. Josh Allen is, I think, firmly put himself in, I am the second best quarterback in the National Football League. If Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, it would be my league. The only problem is that guy exists. He had 4 touchdowns in a week in which quarterbacks didn't really put up a lot of big numbers. Josh Allen put up big numbers, threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for 2 touchdowns, didn't throw an interception in the game. This was a really good Josh Allen game. And you and I agree, if Buffalo gets good Josh Allen, they are just going to win. You get that Josh Allen that does a little bit of everything. I'm going to throw it. I'm not going to make mistakes in the pass game, and I'm going to run the football effectively at the goal line. There aren't a lot of teams in the National Football League that are beating Buffalo. I actually think Arizona played well for the most part. I mean, they scored 28 points. Buffalo just scored 34 at home and took care of business. They had a big special teams play.
That's true. I was just stating, and now Josh Allen is clearly the second best quarterback in the NFL, so it's not the exact same, but we've seen elite quarterback play can elevate mediocre weapons. Hell, Patrick Mahomes' last Super Bowl was elite quarterback play elevates mediocre weapons. The time they beat the Bengals in the AFC title game was elite quarterback play elevates mediocre weapons. I mean, he beat the Bengals when Marcus Kemp was out there running routes, and Kadarius Toney, who was, I think, maybe hurt in the game, but out there or not out there, Kadarius Toney was still a detriment. So, like, I could see a path if Joe Burrow is going to look like Joe Burrow again, but there is no evidence that's happening. And if that's not happening, I don't know the weaponry exists, but we haven't talked about it. And we will probably today or tomorrow. That Bengals defense has done a very good job historically against Patrick Mahomes. They give Mahomes fits. So if the path to win is defense and protect the football, the defense that does give Patrick Mahomes issues.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll continue to talk about week 2 between the Chiefs and the Bengals. Everybody has been weighing in on Joe Burrow. We'll also talk about the Royals. They have an off day today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.